Well, Field of Dreams game happened up in Dyersville, Iowa last Thursday night. And, well, they've announced for next year already the Cubs will be there. They'll take on the Cincinnati Reds next time around. But first time around, it only makes sense. Chicago White Sox were there, and there's a few White Sox fans around here. One of them is a voice familiar to our airwaves here on WGIL. Of course, a longtime coach of the American Legion baseball team, a longtime coach at the high school Galesburg, David. Steve Cheeseman, able to attend the game up in Dyersville last Thursday, joins us this morning. Steve, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks so much for taking some time with us this morning. All right, so let's talk first about how the whole process of getting tickets to that game, because it wasn't an easy process. You know, first off, having to be an Iowa resident initially, and then a Sox or a Yankees season ticket holder. They didn't make it easy for other people to get them, it sounds like.
No, it wasn't easy at all. And in fact, as soon as this game was announced, and obviously, you know, I wanted to go last year, but then, you know, that got canceled with COVID and so on. But as soon as the tickets were announced on how they were going to be distributed this year, I had my eyes on them, and I tried every way possible. My wife would tell you that I was almost obsessive of trying to find a ticket to get to this game. But for the most part, the tickets were off the charts expensive, way too expensive for me to pay that kind of money. I mean, the cheapest one at most points was well over $1,000, and God only knows how much the most expensive ones were. And I tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and thought I had maybe a time or two a ticket, and it fell through, and wanted to make one last-ditch effort last Thursday morning, and contacted a lady who thought she had one, but she had sold it. And she said, why don't you just try this website here? I'd heard, I don't know anything about it. It may be something, it may not. I tried on there and didn't even know what it was when I was doing it. It was an email, and it came back, clicked back to me that there were no tickets left. And then about 5 minutes later, it said, we have a single left. And lo and behold, that single was from Major League Baseball. It was from their offices. And I got a hold of a gentleman there and talked to him on the phone. He had it. He took my order. And I paid face value for that ticket.
Wow.
Those tickets were $375, and that's what I paid. The good Lord was with me big time there. So I got my ticket at about a little after 10 Thursday morning, and I left out of here as fast as I could get out of here, and I even left breakfast dishes out because I was trying to get out of here so fast. And I was very, very fortunate.
Were you up there bragging like, look, I paid face value for mine?
No, I kept my mouth shut there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
People I were in line with, one was a family from Toronto, and another behind me was a family from Tampa, and they paid well over $1,000.
Yeah.
Well over $1,000 for their tickets.
Well, as I understand, it got to the point by Wednesday and Thursday that they were, I don't know if it was per pair or per ticket, that they were upwards of like $10,000. So either way,
yeah, they were crazy amounts. This was the ticket, and I understand why. I mean, this is a celebrated movie, a once in a lifetime kind of thing, and I feel so fortunate that I was able to go.
Well, let me ask you, Steve, had you actually been up to the Field of Dreams prior to that?
No, never at all, but certainly a bucket list. The movie is my favorite. You know what that's all about with baseball, Sox, relationships, family, dads. My dad taught all of us how to play baseball and basketball and all those things, and really set the stage for my brothers and I to be involved. And experiences and memories are the most important of all. So this whole thing married all of those things together. So this was something I certainly wanted to do, but getting to do it all in one shot of seeing that and then going to the game with the White Sox and then how that game, you know, developed and ended was just, I mean, literally almost surreal.
Steve Cheeseman joining us this morning. Steve attended the Field of Dreams game last Thursday night. And was this the case, Steve, if it wouldn't have been the White Sox, would you have had the desire to go?
Probably not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Probably not. You know, this is one of those things like next year with the Cubs and the Reds, no desire in any way, shape, or form. And I don't know how you could ever top this. I mean, this was not a home run, a grand slam right off the bat with everything about it, every little detail, the beauty of the day, the sky. The sky was behind me, and I had no idea the sky was as pretty as it was. I'd heard over and over about that and then saw pictures. I mean, you just name it. And it had everything going for it, and this could never be topped. I'm sure other people will say it will be, but in my mind, and I think it was that night. And people that watched it, and the talk station really was just an unbelievable evening and day.
Well, and it only makes sense, one, that it's the White Sox, because if you're basing it on the movie with Shoeless Joe Jackson, it was the Sox there, and the other team didn't necessarily matter, but it was kind of cool that it was the Yankees, though, too.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees are the most famous sports franchise in the world, and to have them play the White Sox in this, sort of the underdog versus the behemoth, it was appropriate. And when you were out to the Field of Dreams, when you entered the ballpark, or the cornfield, so to speak, you entered through turnstiles that went right onto the Field of Dreams.
Oh, wow.
And from there, you went through the corn, just like in the movie, and onto a pathway that was lined by corn, another quarter mile down to the stadium. And there were players. I mean, the Field of Dreams site is just literally a big playground game, people playing catch, running the bases, taking pictures. But lots of people there, and I say about Major League Baseball and the people of Dyersville were there to aid you and help you, but there were lots of people there dressed up they were all dressed up as White Sox players, in the movie set, the 1919 White Sox. So very appropriate that it's the White Sox, because the White Sox signature was all over that in every way.
Was it emotional for you? I mean, remembering the movie and having Kevin Costner out there speaking ahead of time, did it get emotional for you at all?
I mean, anybody that's ever watched that movie, if you don't think that's an emotional movie, I mean, then I'm not sure you have a heart. So it was, like I said, surreal seeing all of that, music of the movie, seeing him walk out through the corn, all of those things. And also there were other stars there. I got my picture taken with the father, John Kinsella. His name Brown. He was there on him. And that scene where he plays catch, Kevin Costner with his dad. Well, his dad was there, and I got a picture with him. The whole movie is just about a whole lot of things that are special to most people.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, great movie. Just with all this coming up ahead of time, I actually flipped on, found it. I don't remember which service it was—Netflix or Hulu or whatever. I found it on there and watched it last. I think it might have been last Wednesday, even ahead of the game. Steve Cheeseman joining us here this morning. He was at the Field of Dreams game up in Dyersville last Thursday. And of course, Steve is a big White Sox fan, and I don't know. See, I'm kind of hoping. I mean, obviously, they're already going to do it next year. They've announced, and it's. I guess it's kind of cool that it's the Cubs being nearby and historic. I'm kind of hoping this doesn't become an every year thing, though, because I don't. Obviously, that first one's going to be special no matter what, but I don't think it's going to become less and less special if they keep doing it every year.
Well, I think so. I think that you read different things and hear ideas being thrown out that this was a great idea, my Major League Baseball, which it was, but maybe to take it and move toward minor league stadiums, to go to places that are the true roots of baseball. When you're out to that site, I thought many a times, this is like lots of our American Legion baseball games where we're playing in the summertime at night. It's calm. It's beautiful. You're out, maybe on the outskirts of town in a ballpark that's, near the edge of a city limits. I mean, all of those things were just perfect. So they need to go to venues to where, it takes into account the importance of what baseball all means to us and go that route. But I think that going to a Field of Dreams game every year would sure diminish, what this first one really meant. And I think it springboards everything to wherever they go next, whether they're going to, as I said, to minor league stadiums or going to some kind of different venue that would be an outside-the-box thing.
One interesting thing we discussed actually last week talking about the movie, and one phrase in there that must be a regional thing, because anytime like you with your dad or your brothers or your friends, what did you say? Let's go play catch. Did you ever say the phrase, you want to have a catch or let's have a catch? Is that a phrase that you were familiar with before
never
the movie?
In my life. We played lots and lots of catch
right.
with our dad
yeah.
who wanted to play catch, and we wanted to play catch with him, and I've done it with my boys. I understand I was listening to Kevin Costner getting interviewed because he did a lot of interviews in this last week. He didn't want that in there either because he, just like you and I said, he feels like I've always wanted to play catch. The director absolutely wanted it, and it's something more from the East Coast. And there's that East Coast bias, I guess,
right.
that gets into us again. But here in the Midwest, I've never had want to have a catch. I've always wanted to play catch.
Yeah, and I guess that the East Coast thing kind of makes sense since his dad grew up in Brooklyn or something like that in the movie. So I guess that made sense in that respect. But I figured that probably was a regional phrase from somewhere, figuring the Northeast anyway. But yeah, that was the one odd thing. I mean, it worked obviously in the movie. It was a very emotional moment in the movie, so it worked there. You know, one of the other things, because I thought, you know, the rumor was Kevin Costner is going to be there and he's going to throw out the first pitch. Did they even have a ceremonial first pitch?
Yeah, they did. And what they did the day before to celebrate youth baseball, they had the Chicago White Sox inner city team called the Aces play the New York City team, which was a Harlem, and I can't remember what the Harlem Blues or something. And they played a youth travel baseball game over at the Field of Dreams. So they had a player from each team throughout the baseball there. One was a pitcher and one was a catcher. But I thought it would have been very, very appropriate for Kevin Costner to throw it out and throw it to his dad. I mean, he was there, so I don't know why they didn't do that. You know, and we go to lots of games where you have a number of first pitches thrown out, so they could have certainly done the youth baseball thing and then have Costner throw it to Dwyer Brown there, and that would have really been appropriate.
Yeah, that would have made sense. Steve Cheeseman joining us here this morning. Steve was at the Field of Dreams game in Dyersville last Thursday night. See, let's talk. I guess with this one other note relating to that game in particular, Tony La Russa's decision to let Miguel Cabrera manage the team in that big spotlight was. How did you feel about that?
Yeah, and I know Tony La Russa had to. He went to. He had to go to a funeral of his brother-in-law.
So oh, okay.
And then he missed the game. And so that wasn't anything that he was expecting. He just missed that game because of attending his brother-in-law's funeral.
Okay. See, I didn't even realize that. I was thinking it was just he's like, hey, I've had my big moments. Let's let Miggy take this one. Are you feeling is La Russa going to be obvious? He's doing a great job, but he's past his prime too. Are you thinking this is going to be a one and done for him this year?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. I think that he's probably just sort of taking it, you know, not necessarily day by day, but, you know, just as it comes. I think he's done a terrific job. You know, the White Sox have had to deal with lots and lots of injuries. They've dealt with some pitching issues, even though the pitching has been tremendous. You know, there are some situations that I think that the modern game in terms of these rules with replay, and the extra innings caught him off guard a little bit. But in terms of how he's handled the roster and the lineup, he's done a terrific job. And again, I've been a Tony La Russa fan forever, and I remember him, you know, as the manager of the White Sox the first time around. And from that point to where he is now, the tremendous career he's had, I think he's done a great, great job.
You know, I remember going to a restaurant years. This was in the mid-80s when he was there. Well, it was maybe it was what? Because he was there till when? Was it mid to late 80s he was there the first time around?
He was there till 86, and that's when Hawk Harrelson,
okay,
who was the general manager the one year, fired him.
Yeah, yeah. So it was sometime in the mid-80s. He was still manager. I remember I was kind of seeing a girl who lived up in that area in Downers Grove or somewhere. We went to a little small Italian restaurant, and it was apparently a place that he frequented, and they had a dish on the menu called Chicken alla La Russa.
and in fact, he took over not very long after Disco Demolition.
Oh, right, yeah.
I remember taking my wife for the first time to a game, and the outfield was bare, and it looked like an old inner-city playground. And she's a Cardinals fan, and she thought, what in the world is he taking me to here? This team here plays in this dump with this kind of thing. But, you know, I think she enjoys watching the White Sox now more than the Cardinals because she watches it so much with me.
Yeah, well, and you know, then I went to, I never made it to Old Comiskey. I wish I would have. I was there the first year of the new stadium, and I thought, wow, it couldn't get more generic. But I was there when the Cardinals played up there, like, what, 3 years ago, maybe? And I was really impressed. Yeah, absolutely. Didn't even look like the same place. And I forgot how intimate it was as well.
Yeah, they really done a good job of taking that, as you say. When it was first built, it was the last of the sort of generic cookie cutter things.
Yeah.
And then the next one built was Camden Yard, so the White Sox didn't make a good decision in terms of timing, but then they made those changes, and over the years the ballpark looks much more retro, and it's a great ballpark to go to a game in.
Well, I know there's a lot of baseball between now and then. Obviously, the Sox have the makeup to win it all, don't you think? And it, you know what's it take to get there and win it all? Obviously, you have to be hot at the right time.
Yeah, you got to be hot at the right time. We know that. And where the Cardinals won the World Series there after being four games over 500 were about 15 years ago. You got to stay away from injuries. I think you've got to continue to get good starting pitching. And I think a real key is get your bullpen set and those guys be very, very dependable. The Sox have had, a few kinks in the armor here, lately with Liam Hendricks. So they've got to get that worked out and ironed out. And again, these guys that have come back from their injuries, get them lots of at-bats. And they got as good a chance as anybody if all of those things can be shored up.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Steve, thanks so much for taking the time with us this morning. I'm really glad you got to go see the game.
I'm so grateful.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a great great experience. And the way it happened for you, too. I mean, the morning of, and you paid face value.
Oh,
you can't beat that.
Unbelievable. I'm very grateful.
All right. Well, Steve, thanks so much for taking the time with us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Right. Have a great day.